Warning, the following podcast contains coarse language and spoilers for the film and the title of the podcast.
Now playing Movie Reviews in 20 Qs.
Hello, good people, and welcome to Movie Reviews in 20 Qs, the show where I, as always, Sam Hurley, talk to you about a movie and ask 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. This week, I'm joined by Liz. How you doing?
I'm so good, Sam, and I'm so glad that you started, right. Finally. Because we've just been talking shit for too long.
Get out!
No, hello, real good people. What the fuck is this? Who's this guy?
It's a takeover, mate. I'm sick of waiting. Yeah. My beer's getting empty.
That was legit. That was really good.
That was really good. We're just going to use it as a start. I mean, yeah, that is B Dizzle from We Watch the Thing doing the intro. He's come back through time to fucking start this before me. But hey, how you going, B Dizzle?
Man, I'm not here to fuck spiders. I'm doing well. How are you doing, mate?
That's bullshit. I reckon if we threw a tarantula in front of you, you'd seduce the fuck out of it.
I personally am here to fuck spiders. That is literally my only task.
That makes sense. That is your MO.
I'm joking. Spiders scare the crap out of me.
I'm assuming that that's a Kiwi saying as well.
Oh, yeah.
I just say saying that. Okay. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, 100%.
Except we say it ironically because we don't have massive giant spiders that we could fuck, like not like you guys.
Yeah, that's legit. Yeah.
But anyway, we're not here to talk about fucking spiders. You're right. Beatles is right. We're here to talk about the film and the title of the podcast, which is The Terminator from 1984. Liz, was this your first time watching it?
Of course it was.
You're
what
kidding.
What the fuck is going
For real?
On?
Come on, it came out when I was 2. What do you want?
Yes, you've had plenty of time to fucking watch it.
I actually was just talking to my mum, and I said, oh, you know, did you ever watch it? And she said, oh, I don't think so. I said, oh, but you would probably sent my brothers to watch it. She said, oh, I'm sure I would have. And I said, oh, my other brother, like one would have been old enough, he would have been about 11, but then the other one would have been about, I guess, like 7. And I was like, so he probably would have been a bit too young, but you probably sent him anyway. She's like, yeah, I probably did. So maybe she sent me as well at 2. So maybe I have watched it. I didn't remember.
For those overseas, 7 is pretty much the legal drinking age, driving age, smoking age for New Zealanders.
Yeah.
Go to the movies age. You know, it's about right.
Although saying that, if she knew there was a sex scene in it, she would not have sent any of us until we were 18. But the violence,
oh, one of those.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Go Liz's mum. Anyway, Liz, since you're the most recent to watch it, what is the plot of The Terminator? I mean, everyone's fucking seen this except for Liz until like 2 hours ago.
I just don't believe that's true. But my mum hasn't seen it. She specifically said so. So in your face. The plot is that Sarah Connor has to go on the run with a mysterious stranger after a cyborg comes back from the future to kill her.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Succinct.
I know. And I nailed it. I actually sort of
planned
that.
You knew we were going to throw this at you, didn't you?
I sure did.
Cheeky, cheeky bitch.
Sure did.
Clever girl.
I know. What is that?
Anyway.
Alien. You made an alien quote and I got it.
No.
Jurassic Park.
Damn it.
Jurassic Park, mate. Please tell me you've seen Jurassic Park.
Yes, it is. Jurassic Park, now that you say that. It's really late on a Friday night, man. I just want to be in bed.
She's only seen Drainal Park, bro. She hasn't seen Jurassic Park.
Sam, cut that. That is disgusting. No one
Jurassic
wants to hear
Pork?
About
Jurassic Pork? I don't know what
yeah,
she's seen.
Jurassic
anyway.
Porn, obviously.
Anyways, 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Came out on 26th of October 1984, 2 days after my birthday. Directed by James Cameron, had a box office of $78 million. And stars Arnold Schwarzenegger, Linda Hamilton, Michael Biehn, Lance Henriksen, and Bill Paxton. Kind of a little bit of a role. And can't wait to get into this. If you haven't heard this podcast before, what we do is we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. We start with 10 that can be applied to any film. We then move through 3 personal questions before finishing on a Patreon question. The one we always start with, compliment sandwich. One thing good, one thing bad, and one thing good if we like this film. Don't do this to me, Liz. Don't do this to me. But you're going to start us off, Liz. What do you got?
Okay, my first bad thing. No, I'm joking. my first good thing. I think that the story felt really original, at least for the time. I'm assuming it would have been. And it felt quite a rich story, but it was still pretty simple. You know, I could follow along really easily. It wasn't that complicated. We're still feeling like there was all this lore and background. And I thought that was really cool. my bad thing is that I didn't like the gross, gory bits, like where he's trying to fix his arm and stuff. It was gross. Didn't like it. Didn't need it.
How could you find it gross when it's so obviously fake?
Yeah, but still gross. I don't, oh no, when he's in his eye and, oh, so, yep, no, didn't like it.
Okay.
And this shouldn't surprise you anyway, because I never like gross, gory bits. But I would say my other good thing is that I really liked Linda Hamilton and Michael, I want to say Bean.
Yeah, Michael Bean.
Yeah, yeah, that's a weird spelling. So you're Michael Bean. So yeah, look, it was a good film. It was very 80s, but that's okay because it was made in the 80s, and that's so therefore I'm not surprised. So I'm going to give it 9,002.
Whoa!
9,002 Uzis. Uzis?
That is way higher than I was expecting from you, Liz.
Yeah, like for
so
what,
was I.
For what it, like when it was made, and you know, like it's got some cool effects and stuff. It's a pretty good straightforward storyline. It, you know, the pacing was pretty good. Like it was relatively forward thinking for its time as well. You've got like, and also the diversity is nice. It passes the Bechdel test, I'm pretty sure. Like it's pretty solid. I don't know that it really could have been much better.
I just love that I've tried to convince you to do this movie before and you were like adamantly like, nah, no way.
No
I don't
way.
Want to do this
shit. I absolutely would not have been like that. I just haven't seen it. So I was kind of like, sure, I don't know.
And the best part was, like, I was like, I think you might like it. And then I remember saying to you, Stacey liked it. And you were like, yeah, so what the fuck does that mean?
Like, well, to be fair, what the fuck point. Does that mean? Because
doesn't mean
Stacey,
shit.
Like, has some interesting tastes. Sometimes she really likes really quality films and sometimes she does not. So,
Exactly. Anyway, over to B Dizzle. What do you got, bro?
All right, my first good thing is Arnie. This is far and away the best performance he has ever had in him. And like, sure, there's an argument to be made that maybe the film isn't requiring a lot from him, but I don't actually think that's true. I just think that the character he's playing is perfect for who he is and was at that time. I just think he is so good. He's menacing as hell in this film.
I preferred him as Kindergarten Cop. No, I'm joking.
Get out.
Get to the chopper.
It's not a tumor.
I just think he's so good in this film. My second good thing is, like Liz said, the story. I just think that the story is really neat. Like, you know, it is very easy for time travel to get messy, mm-hmm. As we've seen in Daddy Nolan's films. And, you know, even later on in the Terminator franchise, it just kind of gets a little bit all over the shop. But this film is so tight and it's so enjoyable and so much fun. And my third good thing is the overall look of this film is fucking beautiful. Like, I actually don't think this film looks that 80s. And you got to remember, this film is now nearly 40 years old. Like, this is a 38-year-old film. And it looks fucking beautiful. Like, it is shot so nicely. The effects still hold. I think they still hold up today. Like, when, you know, the gory bits you were talking about, mm-hmm. Liz, I can see why you would find them gory, because I think that they look pretty damn good. Like, the makeup and practical effects in this film are amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then that final stop-motion sequence where you have the endoskeleton, I'm just a sucker for stop-motion. I just think that that looks fucking
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I had a question about that, because I found that there were some bits of that robot skeleton, like, were really good and looked really realistic, and then there were a few bits where I was like, that looks really like it was filmed for Mortal Kombat.
Liz, you can't ask questions on this podcast, man. What the fuck are you doing?
I do what I want. So shut up.
From my perspective, there was obvious the scenes that they'd use stop motion, and there was the ones where they had somebody animating him.
So that's
know, like
what
underneath
it was.
Something or
yeah, I was
going to
say, there's a mix. And, you know, there's a lot of miniatures and stuff used in the film as well. But
yeah,
that's what I was wondering.
That
like
looks
what,
so damn
what
good.
The difference was between the two. So, okay, that's good to know. So shut up, Sam.
Yeah.
And go, Sam. No. Actually, Billy's got to still give us a score.
Yeah, score.
Oh, this is a neat 10,000 out of 10,000 for me. This is, I mean, we'll get into it later, but I just think this is honestly one of the best films ever made. It's in my top 100 of all time list. And I've seen this movie so many times that when Sam threw it out there, let's do this, I almost thought about not rewatching it. Especially like when I was in high school, me and my best mate watched this like probably once a week. We were like, let's throw on The Terminator. It's just like that film for us. But I had so much fun putting it on again. And honestly, I had forgotten how good it was. Like, it's not just a fun film. It's a really, really good film.
It's so true. I completely agree with everything you're saying. I'm a hyperbole sandwich as well. I can't fucking, I can't keep it in for too much longer. Like, two of your guys' things were two of my things. Like, first of all, the story, you're right, Liz, the story was going to be my great thing because it does enough to, like, cover off, like, dangling plot points. Like, I'll get into one of my deep philosophical debate, but the idea that the Terminator, you know, Skynet knew it was fucked, so it sent somebody back in time, and that it only had the ability to send one person, the humans could only send one person, makes so much logical sense. Like, it covers its bases really good. Onto the part about Arnie, yes, amazing. Almost wasn't cast in this role. Almost was O.J. Simpson, but they didn't think O.J. Simpson could be believable as a killer, so they didn't put him in this film.
I know,
what the fuck?
Well, that's awkward.
I know. And in the original script, instead of a rifle, he just had a white Bronco that he drove around.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, you're joking.
He wore
about
gloves.
That part, right?
No.
Oh, dear.
And then my other good thing, straight from the start, it's a fucking thrill ride. Like, you see this motorized thing running over skulls and you're like, whoa, the movie is not fucking around. And then in the first couple of minutes, after Arnie gets sent back in time, walks up to three dudes, rips out a fucking heart. It's like, holy shit.
I forgot how short this movie is. This is like an hour 40. This is a sub 2 hour movie, which it doesn't feel like it should be, but it fucking works.
Yeah, for sure. It was good length. In a lot of these movies, I find that I'm sort of like, okay, let's keep it going. And I just really didn't have that here.
Exactly. Yeah. Liz loves a good length. We've been over that a few times.
For fuck's sake. Get out.
Get out.
Get out.
So anyway, as a score, half a million. Fuck it. Why not?
Seems legit.
Oh, he's the T-101, isn't he?
Yes, he is. 101, I remember.
So 101,000, there we go. That'll do.
Oh, I like that. That works.
Anywho, over to a couple of quickfire questions. First of which is, what's something one of the characters did in this film that would make you go, nah, fuck doing that?
I'm going to go with Sarah Connor's waitressing job, getting yelled at, trying to keep track of a shit ton of stuff, getting a kid putting ice cream in your pocket. Like, no, thank you. I do not want to be a waitress, and especially not in America, where she was probably earning sweet FA.
Well, yeah. I'm going to say there are several scenes in this film where people run, and I think we could all agree that that is just one of the worst acts that a human can endure.
Running.
Just running in general. Oh, yeah. Just fuck it. No, I'm not running.
You're like away
it's not
from
natural,
things,
man.
Toward things, yeah,
it's,
on
it's
the spot.
It's bad for your back. It's bad for your hips. Like, the older I get, the more I'm like, fuck running in general.
It's one of those things that's like, people always say, like, if we were meant to fly, God would have given us wings. Well, if we were meant to go fast, God would have given us wheels. And he hasn't.
You two are some lazy fuckers. I say that as someone who has. I say that as someone who has run two marathons. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Show off.
Thank you. Hashtag humble brag.
Hashtag non cares. And my answer is the part where she climbs between the hydraulic press. You know, when she's got a Terminator chasing after you. I've never really been claustrophobic, but like when she did that, I was like, I wouldn't trust it. I don't trust it.
See, that I would do. I play a lot of platform games, Donkey Kong and whatnot, and so I reckon I could pull off that timing. I reckon I could do it.
Well, it wasn't going to go until she pushed the button, right? So she's sweet as.
Yeah, she's fine. Yeah.
Next question, what was the most insane leap of logic in this film?
That Kyle Reese could fall in love with Sarah Connor from a photograph.
I don't know, mate. It's like the year 2027. They're in war. Maybe there's no women about.
Have you seen the situation they're living in, man?
I think you'll find that they're good fighters. So they are still about. I thought it was like, did he really need to say he was in love with her? That just seemed really unnecessary.
Oh, mate, that was a pickup line. Absolutely.
I should never have said that.
I fell in love with you.
I fell in love.
He just wants some
poo. Oh, my Lord.
He does.
Legit. Anyway. What about you guys?
I mean, I know that it probably wasn't an insane leap of logic at the time, but the one thing that dates this movie is the idea that a robot or a man or anything from the future would have any clue what a phone book is.
Yes, I thought that actually. Yes.
Yeah.
They just don't exist anymore. It's such an insane leap of logic now to go, okay, yeah, I'll go back in time and I'll check
immediately check the phone book.
The one for me is like the fact that she got to the police station and then it was like she immediately forgot that there was a Terminator after her. Like, they were going on about how, you know, Kyle is fucking crazy and all this other shit. And it's just like, lady, you've just been in a car and seen a guy get shot repetitively with guns. Like, repetitively. And he's saying this is what it is. And she was just sort of like, yeah, whatever. I'm not going to bother telling the police that there's somebody else out there who's a fucking lunatic. You know? She's like completely forgot about him.
He's wearing a bulletproof vest and he's on PCP, so he's fine, you know?
Sure. Uh-huh. Sure.
That'll totally solve it. Yeah. Fair.
Yeah. Next question. What quote from this film would be the worst thing to hear immediately after you finish having sex?
You're terminated, fucker.
That was mine. That was mine.
Mine is a... Hey, buddy, you got a dead cat in there or
what?
Oh,
nice. It was going to be mine. Oh, if I was having sex with Sam, it would be, I'll be back.
Oh, yeah, well, I had right. That up there for Liz.
I nearly wrote that down.
I'd be like, oh, my God, like, what the fuck? I never do it right. This is weird. Go away.
Nice.
My backup answer was like something that I'd hate to hear before I have sex, which is, come with me if you want to live.
Oh, yes, I thought of that. I was like... In the middle of it, I guess. That's.
I was like, yep, I'm going to die.
I hear that in the middle of it. Like, okay, but if I...
In the middle of it, I so after about 6 or 7 seconds.
You come with me if you want to live.
Yeah, look, as a woman, there's a really strong possibility I'm not walking out of there, frankly. So yeah.
True. Anywho, moves us over to the first of our Patreon questions. This one comes courtesy of our good friend Emily Higgins of the Tasteless Podcast, a podcast which compares two films. One she thinks is overrated, compares it to... One of a similar theme that she doesn't think gets the love it deserves. You know, you guys know her. She's been on a bunch. She's awesome. Anywho, her question this week, what movie would you pair with this as a double feature? And go, Billy.
All right. I mean, the obvious answer is T2. That's just too obvious. So I'm going with The Fly, the 1986 remake with Goldblum. But I just think that there's some similar themes going on there, similar tones. It's kind of like almost a horror movie, but not really. It's got some great effects and stuff in it. I just think it would pair really nicely with this.
Sweet.
I'd easily argue that both of those are horror films, especially The Fly. That one's fucking horrific.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I guess it's more body horror than anything else. Like, it's not your typical kind of, you know, there's no real danger apart from what he's done to himself, which is what makes it so much fun. But yeah.
It's a good choice. Good choice. What about you, Liz?
I think I'm going to go with RoboCop because I feel like it's more 80s action, but this time the cyborg's the good guy. I think, apparently, because I haven't actually seen it.
What the fuck? I knew that was coming.
If you want me to pick a movie I've seen, I'm going Alien to compare the badass female main character, you know.
There we go. Now you're making sense. I'm going to go with 2018, 2019's Upgrade. I feel like it's a modern version of Terminator. Oh, you guys have heard my love for Upgrade before. I had the 4-year reference guys on. We talked about it. Fucking awesome film. Anywho, question 6 is also a Patreon question. Comes courtesy of our mate Nick Haskins of Nikolai's Kitchen. Also of Livestream for the Cure, which we will be on at 7 p.m. on Pacific Standard Time on May 21st. Really looking forward to that, and there's a promo for that at the end, and we'll be doing like a little plug soon. Anyway, what's this question, B Dizzle?
All right, what type of meal is this movie?
I had a think about this, and I've gone with Sloppy Joe's, which for non-Americans is burgers with like chili, like the mince from the from chili is like the filling. That's it. It's just like burgers with mince from and like, so it's like super sloppy, right? It's basically 80s all American.
It's just
fare.
Mince on toast, isn't it?
No, it's in a bun. It's supposed to be like in a burger.
It is chili and it's in like a burger bun. Like, and it is delicious in Liz's defense, but I'm confused with the link.
Well, cuz it's like 80s, fully 80s, it's American, it's simple, but it just delivers on when it's meant to be. Like, you just go and it's filling. It's like you just get in there and it's 80s. I just am linking it to the 80s, man. Shut up your face. And I thought the Americans would appreciate it. That I've heard of
All I've got stuck in my head is that scene in Billy Madison where she's like, do you want some more Sloppy Joes? I made them real sloppy. I know how you kids like them sloppy.
I did actually have one when I was in America. I was in California a few years ago and I had one and I was just kind of like, this is a hot mess. Why? Like literally, it is literally a hot mess.
I'm sure you've had a Sloppy Joe before, Liz. I'm sure.
I actually don't know that I have banged any dudes called Joe.
Welcome back to how many dudes has Liz banged? This week's name, Joe.
You're not slut shaming me, are you, Sam?
Hell no.
Good.
Proud of you.
Excellent. Moving on.
Yeah, on to me. Pizza. It's pizza. Everyone loves pizza. It's fucking awesome. And pizza, like, as you were talking about, like, it's 80s. Like, for me, I feel like pizza peaked in the 80s. I think, like, it's when it sort of hit its popularity. You know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were devouring it left, right, and center.
Yeah.
It was all over the place. So I feel like it was there. And, like, similar to pizza, it's persisted. This franchise is fucking persisted. And it's like, it's like showing up to a pizza party and someone's going, "Hey, bro, I got 6 pizzas." And you're like, "Oh, cool, what are they?" And then they start pointing at them and you're like, "Okay, that's my favorite flavor." And they say you take it. And then you're like, "Well, it's my second favorite flavor because I really like this one. I'm saving this one for next." And then you take that and you're like, "Oh, what else is here? Oh, margarita, oh, it's right. Oh,
yeah, the rest of them aren't great.
4 cheeses.
The rest of them, Amber Heard margarita? Has had to go at."
Supreme. It's got mushrooms on, not really a mushroom fan. What's this one? Mushroom overload. What the fuck?
Get out.
That's what it is.
I found this actually the hardest question of all of them, which I don't, maybe it's just because I love food so much, I love movies so much. It took me a long time to come up with an answer. But I think that this is a medium rare steak with Paris mash and green beans. Like, it's a fairly standard meal that you could get in any kind of pub, but this is just done the absolute best it can be. Like, this isn't just your steak and chips. This is cooked to perfection. It comes with incredible sides. It's buttery. The mash is creamy. Like,
nice.
I just think that's, to me, that's what this film is. It's the absolute best that a simple meal can be.
Love it.
Yeah. Almost like cooked by like Gordon Ramsay or something, where it's just coming out. I was like, "Yeah, you like that, stupid fucking cunt?" And you're like, "Yeah, I love it." But it's kind of fucking thrilling, but yeah, this is awesome.
"Please, Mr. Ramsay, I'm trying to eat."
Yeah.
"You like that, you fat bitch?"
"You fucking hamster."
"Sir, this is a Wendy's."
"What?" Anywho, Liz, question number 7.
All right. Number 7 is, what was the biggest dick move in this movie?
My biggest dick move is also an insane leap of logic, but I've and Liz has already brought it up. It's a little kid putting a scoop of ice cream into a fucking outfit.
So
I was like, okay, insane leap of logic, because like I could just imagine the kid sitting there and James Cameron's like, "Okay, I need you to scoop ice cream into her outfit." And he's like, "I'm not going to give up my ice cream." He's like, "Yeah. I'll give you 14,000 fucking scoops of ice cream if you put one into her outfit." "Oh, yeah, okay, here you go." But like, because what kid is going to do that? What kid's going to give away their ice cream?
Legit.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What an asshole.
That kid is growing up into a serial killer for sure.
Oh, he fucking is, man. He is skinning rabbits in his back garden at night.
And
yeah.
It really doesn't matter how quickly she gets to the back and gets rid, like, tips it out of her pocket. Like, it's still going to be messy and sticky and disgusting.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What a for sure. Fucking asshole, man.
I am going to go with Arnie killing all the Sarah Connors, because he could have done some basic analysis to work out whether they were viable options for Sarah, the Sarah Connor he was looking for first.
What, like seeing if they already had kids?
Yeah,
or
like
or...
if they already had one called John or something.
But that's not his job. His job is to kill.
Yeah, his job is to kill Sarah Connor. Like that is like, even the first one got identified as being Sarah Connor, 35 years old. So he probably did a rough assumption. Like if he showed up at Sarah Connor's door and she was this frail, like, "I've been waiting 73 years.
84 years."
Yeah, he'd probably be like, "Yeah, maybe not this one, but
Sarah Connor."
But that's what they should have done, actually. That would have been quite a good scene. Like, if he turned up and it was just this frail old lady and he was like, "Ba-bang.
Is that you, Jack?"
I reckon the biggest dick move is Kyle Reese offing himself purely so that he doesn't have to raise that baby.
I just about spat out my water.
Hit it and quit it, Billy.
That is the definition.
Ultimate dick move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great dick move.
Nice.
Talking about dick moves, did you see that part of the star where Arnie is walking naked towards those guys?
That was great.
Yeah.
There was a hog swinging, man. There was.
Oh, I just got your joke because it was a moving dick.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Picking it up and down. Yeah.
There all we right. go.
You're catching it up.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of funny. Got it. All right.
Thanks. Next question is also a Patreon question. Comes courtesy of our mate Chris Yeeney. And what's his question there, Billy?
All right. Chris wants to know, what song would you insert into this movie and where?
So I went with Corey Hart's song Sunglasses at Night. It's released in like 83 or 84. Perfect timing. And I'm doing it when Arnie puts on his sunglasses to hide his gross fucked up eye, because it's at nighttime. Suck it. And I actually listened to it and it fits the whole vibe. So
the nightclub they're in is called Tech Noir. Noir obviously means black. So I took from that Black Sabbath, and then I thought Iron Man, but then I thought, nah, go Paranoid.
Sweet.
Definitely Paranoid.
Nice.
Mine is probably a really obscure reference, but I think that there needs to be a scene where you see Skynet taking over. And I think we should really just hear Electric Dreams. Does anybody remember that movie? Which ironically came out the same year, where at the end, the computers take over and all the radios start playing this really weird,
that'd be
bizarre
perfect.
Pop song.
They should totally have that.
That'd be great.
Nice.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the music was quite weird in places, actually. Like, it was very video gamey.
No way. Don't you sully this
you
score.
Shut
this
up.
Is one of the greatest scores of all time.
I'm not saying it was, like, bad. It was just, it felt like quite video gamey. Like, were there video games?
No way.
Yeah, Pong.
No way.
Pong didn't have a fucking video game. It didn't have a fucking
The score for this score. Is topped only by Terminator 2, where they added in the...
Oh, yeah,
I'm
getting so hard.
Fucking slaps.
Fuck, it's so sick, eh?
Yeah. I don't know.
So sick. Moves us over to question number 9. Comes courtesy of our mate, Neutrovert. Okay, Jason. At what point during this film was the perfect time for a bathroom break?
I actually think... the film, like I said before, had pretty good pacing, and especially I felt like it was really good timing moving from exposition to action. So they sort of explain something and then suddenly, boom, they'd be back into the action and then they'd settle down and something else would be explained. I thought it was really good. So it took me a minute to think about it, but then I decided I'm going to skip the bit where Arnie is fixing his wounds because A, they were gross, and B, it was just more for flavour than necessity. Like, you could miss it without really missing much.
Yeah, I felt like it gave you a pretty good tease of how much of an exoskeleton, you know, he has. But at the same time, we'd already had the full reveal of that at the start, you know, when we saw them killing people and stuff. So, yeah.
Totes.
I reckon early on, there's a scene where Sarah Connor's rabbiting on about her pet goanna or whatever it is. And I'm like, nah, I'm out. This is where I'm taking a poo.
Wasn't that too small for a goanna?
I don't know what it was. Some weird little lizard thing. I don't care, Sarah Connor. Just, like, just kill it.
Legit.
Hot take. Like, those two kind of almost deserve to die. But at the same time, you've just reminded me of another preposterously insane leap of logic, which was when she's at, like, the nightclub or whatever. She rings the cops. She's like, oh, my God, you have to come and get me. And they're like, yeah, we'll be there in, like, 2 seconds sort of thing. And then she rings her apartment and says, oh, my God, where are you guys, blah, blah, blah. And Terminator's like, sweet. And he's at the nightclub within fucking milliseconds. It's like he's walked from upstairs to downstairs.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But the cops haven't even showed up. It was
LA in the 80s, so.
My one, I did channel Muchu on this. I was going to say at the end of the sex scene was probably a good time for a bathroom break. Maybe a quick shower, you know. But, I mean, like, purely around that time, there was a little bit of exposition that, like, we could have filled in the gaps on sort of thing. And, you know, there was kind of moments that sort of in that last maybe 45 minutes, there was, like, little moments where it was like you couldn't nip out and you weren't going to miss much, you know. So, yeah.
Fair.
Maybe even, like, the scene that we see of him in the future. But even then, we see the destruction of the photo. Fuck. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's a tough one because I legitimately like this film from start to finish.
There just wasn't.
Yeah, it's a tight movie.
There wasn't much fat. Yeah, they trimmed it really well.
Nah. So good. So good. Final question, B. Dizzle.
All right. What deep philosophical debate arose in you during this film?
There's a bit right at the start, I think, when it says, you know, it's 2029 and the machines have been trying to kill us for decades. And I was like, have the machines been trying to kill us for decades? Because, you know, it's now 2022, so we're getting pretty close there. And I was like, actually, I wonder, they sort of have. A little bit, you know, society is steadily moving in a downward spiral and I reckon the machines have something to do with it.
I totally reckon the algorithm or whatever in social media, like I reckon the machines have like just infiltrated and gone, we don't need to do a full nuclear war. These motherfuckers are going to kill each other.
That's legit, actually. Yeah, because even just from sheer frustration of about how annoying the algorithm is, let alone like just giving you loads of terrible misinformation. I just really hate that I can't get new posts at the top like I want in Twitter or whatever.
Well, shit like that. Like, it's just radicalized us. Like, why waste? They're thinking, why waste resources? Why mass produce killing bots and drop nuclear bombs when we can just wait for these fucking idiots to kill each other?
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. If they're reading our Facebook posts, they know how dumb we are.
They're monitoring climate change and just thinking, you guys are idiots.
Let's
they're just totally monitoring climate change.
We'll take over without any effort pretty soon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one for me is quite a lot of people sort of say, why doesn't the Terminator go back in time and just kill humanity when they were like, you know, in 2000 BC? Or why don't they go back and kill his great-granddad?
Or like go back and kill Adam and Eve.
Yeah, go back and kill Adam and Eve, like come up with something. And to that, I thought to myself, it's like they've made a calculated guess that going back and killing the mother before the kid's born makes sense. Like, if you go too far back, you might completely change the future so much
Yeah, technology would be killing itself if you did that.
It'd be killing itself.
No one to create you.
Yeah.
Exactly. How far back do you go before your course in action, you know, doesn't create Skynet, all that sort of shit, which some of the movies later on deal with. But even Kyle Reese says, you know, that I'm from a future, well, one possible future. And so it's like they know this is where it's got to go back. So I feel like that was a pretty good answer to that question. And then the other one too that like people bring up is like, oh, you know, well, why not go back and kill the great-grandfather or the grandfather? We don't fucking know they haven't. We don't know they haven't in an alternate fucking movie, you know.
That's true.
They could pump out 7,000 Terminator films, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do before my great-grandchildren fucking die.
But like in this movie, like they've sent one back to kill the mother. Like, why not go back to kill the mother? Why keep going back when you might be less certain? Because all they knew was that it was Sarah Connor.
Exactly.
You know, so you know that information. It's a Sarah Connor in LA. That seems a lot easier than trying to work it back further.
It's like a very direct line. Like, if I go back and kill this mother, they'll stop this kid being born. But if you go back to, like, you know, three or four generations and it's just like, okay, now I've got 7,000 John Smiths, one's in London, one's in America, one's in Australia. One of these ones might be the dad. I don't know where the fuck to find him. I've got no phone books or any of that sort of shit. So I feel like the movie, if you think about it a little bit more than like, oh, why don't they just go back and kill, blah, 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 I think there's an answer.
Well, here's another answer. Adam and Eve didn't actually exist, I don't think.
You sinner, Liz.
I'm actually probably the most religious of all you. Did either of you guys go to church last weekend? I did.
I did not.
Yeah, well.
Does KFC count as a church? Because I feel like it kind of does at this point for me.
I just want to point out that a meme I saw, or a tweet or something I saw earlier this week, which was that Adam and Eve had three sons, and yet somehow they managed to be the parents of the entire human race. So, yeah. Anyway.
My deep philosophical debate, which I don't know, maybe it's not that deep. This time on this viewing, it really struck me how strange it is that you would design and build a machine specifically for the sole purpose of killing and not build in any weapons. Like, it doesn't have, like, laser eyes. It doesn't have arm cannons or anything. It relies on finding weapons wherever it is sent. And I just kept thinking, if this took place in Australia, this Terminator would be cooked. Because it's like, what, you grab some knives at Woolies? I don't know what you're going to do. Yeah. Like, we don't have guns here or anything.
A cricket bat. Yeah, not even a baseball bat. Yeah,
like, I just find it bizarre that you would build a weapon specifically designed for killing and not make it capable of doing that.
That's such a legit call. And it even has eyes that look like they would be laser eyes, but they're not. Yeah.
But no built-in weapons at all. This film literally only works in a handful of countries where you have ready access to weapons.
Well, luckily they were going back in America, so they were fine.
Yeah.
They were like, we could add weapons, but we're going back to 80s LA, so there's no need.
Just imagining Terminator Australia, where the Terminator goes back in time and gets mauled to death by crocodiles.
Or cane toads.
Or cassowaries or any other million fucking things in Australia that wants to kill you.
Which is literally everything.
Magpies. Magpies will fuck you
Yeah,
up.
They will.
Something sparkly like this. Fuck me. Yeah. It's fucked, man.
He's going to get swooped.
That Terminator is going down.
Yeah, even the bin chickens. He could have been in a bushfire where the eucalyptus trees like explode.
Oh, yeah. A prime minister certainly wouldn't help him.
Because he was an immigrant or...
Well, anyone in a bushfire is not going to help you.
Oh, yeah, true. Good point. So anyway, question 11, which is a question that was essentially given to me because I think Sam likes to dream about ripped naked Arnie. So if
fuck, who doesn't?
A ripped naked 1984 Arnie asked you for something, exactly how much would you give him?
Honestly, he could ask me for a quarter and I'd give him the deed to my house. That is... He's terrifying, he's ripped, he's gorgeous, he's having whatever he wants.
So you're hoping he'd move in with you?
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Your own personal Terminator, like T2, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I could be like, Sam was mean about me on a podcast, go kill him.
Oh, I'm coming to visit, I've got some tasks for him, I've got some people.
Yeah, I thought you would.
Sam is number one.
After he's done with the Sarah Connors, man, he's anyone's. You can do him, use him for whatever the fuck you want.
Sweet.
But yeah, like the answer's everything, man. If he asked you for anything, you give him everything. Like,
yeah.
The fact Bill Paxton and his other two mates were just like pulled knives out and tried to step. I was just like,
that was
what
Bill
the
Paxton.
Fuck? Yeah, Bill Paxton with the blue hair.
Of course, I did look and think he seemed a bit familiar, but I couldn't quite place him. And then you know the movie moved on with its excellent pacing. So
good old Bill Paxton.
Nice.
Yeah, like, it's unbelievable. That was probably an insane leap of logic, and you sort of forget just how ripped he was. Mm-hmm. But like big. You know what I mean? Like the muscles on your back, I don't know how you describe them, between your hips and like your spinal.
That's gorgeous.
Guys like you and I don't know how to describe them because we don't have them.
Exactly, they're not existent on me.
I don't know how to care for them. I don't know how to grow them.
Your lats.
I think they're lats.
They're like wings sticking out the side of them. It's just like, holy shit.
Yeah. So clearly, yeah. Both boys would give Arnie their heart if it was possible.
Yes.
All right.
Definitely one body part of mine, Liz, and whatever he wants, man. I just hope I'm still alive. I just please, Mr. Terminator, sir, please leave me breathing.
Yeah, it's not really his strong suit, the whole leaving you breathing part. So
exactly.
Yeah. All right, so question 12. I'm wondering if you think whether Kyle knew or even at least suspected that he was John's dad at any point.
I reckon he must have done the math in his head. You know, like he knows John pretty well. He must have known his birthday. I reckon that he must have at least suspected, because he knew that Sarah Connor was alone. He knew that they must have been around 9 months before his birth, which begs the question, do you guys reckon that they discussed protection? And he was like, nah, trust me, we're all good.
I feel like he doesn't even know what protection was, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they'd be wanting to pop out as many extra humans as they could to fight Skynet, right? So he'd be like,
yeah, that's
protection
true.
Is unnecessary.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, their idea of protection in the future was a bloody machine gun in a bunker, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I reckon she suspected that he was going to be the dad, so she was that they she wouldn't have brought up protection, and men never like to bring up protection, so... yeah, that's why it wasn't discussed.
Real men do, Liz.
I know, Sam.
I'm with Sam.
That's just...
Men who already have kids are like, this is too hard.
Yeah. They dads do, Liz.
They recognise the importance of it, yeah.
I reckon he was kept in the dark, but he kind of knew. He probably had suspicions, but yeah, you know. Like, I don't think John Connor would ever be like, hey, here you go. Here's a photo of my mum.
Yeah.
Wink, wink. What do you reckon about her, mate? Oh, I'm in love. Yeah. Good on you, bro.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it was a Polaroid, so it's not like he had multiple of them. And exactly. Why would you give your friend a picture of your mum? Like, that seems
Could you imagine sitting there, Billy, and one of your mates gives you a Polaroid? It's like, hey, bro, look at this. It's like, oh.
Hey, bro, check out my mum.
Yeah. No. But not even that. Like, gives you a Polaroid and goes, hey, look at her. Like, oh, yeah. Do you reckon she's hot? Yeah. You reckon you'd smash her? Oh, yeah. That's my mum.
That's my mum.
Cool.
Son.
What the fuck?
But it wouldn't have even been that conversation. They would have been sitting there like two soldiers in war, and he'd be like, hey, man, I've got something I want you to have. Oh, yeah, cool. What's that, bro? Oh, it's this photo of my mum. Okay. Yep. Cheers. I'll keep stick it in this pocket. Thanks.
Why? No reason, Dad.
I think it's more important for you.
Super weird. Yeah, do you think the first time John meets Kyle, he's just like, Daddy? And Kyle's like, wait, what? And he's like, nothing. I said nothing.
Okay, but so you're assuming that John knows. So do you think that Sarah has told John?
Yes, because Sarah says at the end, she's like, should I tell you? Yes, I will.
So you think that is specifically why John sent him back to fuck
well,
his
he
mom?
Volunteered.
Like, you don't think that's just a side effect?
He volunteered.
You think he sent him back to do it?
Yes, because she actually talks about that, right? She's like, if I don't tell you, then maybe you don't send him and then you don't exist. So therefore, I've got to tell you so that you know to send him.
Jeez. Can you imagine, Sam, right? You're 12-year-old little Sam and your mum is like, now listen to me. In about 20 years, your best friend, you're going to meet this guy. You got to send him back to fuck me or you do not live.
Yeah.
That is heavy information.
I really found him super hot and we shared a lot of love in that 12 hours that we knew each other. If you get what I mean. Winky wink. Christ. Anyway.
Fuck that.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. And number 13. What was the small handgun that he gave her in the motel meant to be for? Because it was clearly going to do nothing against Arnie.
I honestly have no answer written down because you're exactly right. You're just stating a fact there. Like, it's doing absolutely nothing.
It's almost like a token gesture, you know? It's like,
He's like, here, fuck. Feel safe. And she's just looking at the guy, yes. The fuck is this going to do, buddy? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he was like, well, look, if you get attacked by someone that isn't Arnie, at least you'll be able to protect yourself. Because that would suck if you were waiting for a Terminator to come and kill you and actually just some random run-of-the-mill serial killer turned up.
Yeah, I don't think there's an answer. I just feel like it's like, well, we've got this gun, might as well give it to someone. She's never used a gun before. Give it to her. Make her feel special. Here's the participation award, girl.
America.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess because then it was a nice thing that she could keep. I mean, well, okay, it was a thing.
Like a memento.
Yeah.
You reckon she could learn to shoot with it later on. Like a toy.
Well, she could like then train with that, like, because apparently she then went off and trained. So maybe she started with the teeny gun.
Maybe. Entry level. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
All right.
Anywho, over to me for my questions. We've kind of already just been chatting about this, but would you guys do it? Would you guys go back in time and bang your best friend's parent in order to make your best friend / save humanity?
Does it need to be to save humanity?
I'll do it right now.
Oh, look, I don't know. Would I do it? Yeah, I'm a man, I'd do it.
Hey, I'm a woman, I'd do it. Especially if I'd been staring at their photo forever and I thought I was in love with them.
Well,
of course
yeah,
you would.
Yeah.
And especially if there'd never been anyone special in my life. Like, he made it sound like he was a virgin, so clearly he needed to get laid stat.
That's true. I've had this old sock. Okay.
Oh, no. I wonder if, like, Skynet, in the porn version, did Skynet make sex robots or cyborgs, I suppose.
I don't know. Like,
I'm just saying that would be the better porn version.
Anyway, moving over to my next question. I mean, yeah, Linda Hamilton, kind of awesome in this at the end, but has there ever been a more impressive glow up / transformation into a badass than Linda Hamilton between Terminator 1 and Terminator 2? And if this is the best, and I think most people can make a pretty good argument it is, what's second?
Well, I've never seen Terminator 2, so...
What?
Christ.
Liz. Well, if I've never seen Terminator 1, why would I have seen Terminator 2? That makes no sense.
I love 90s action films. You don't love shit.
Well, I can't watch... even if it is a 90s action film, I can't watch it if I've never seen the first one. That's not how my brain works.
It's not a 90s action film. It's the fucking best 90s action film of all fucking time.
But even if it is, I won't have seen it if I haven't seen the first one. Okay.
I saw it before I saw Terminator.
Well, that's just weird. I can't do that.
But you know what? You've seen it now.
Yes, I will go and watch Terminator 2.
So can you go and watch
it? Well, I would have, except that we've already done Terminator 2 as a podcast.
Thank you, everyone, and thanks for listening. And if you want to get hold of us, you can find us on Movie News In. And
anyway, so
me and Billy are going to do the rest of the questions.
Because I've never seen it.
Get out.
I am going to go with Edward Norton.
Get out!
Can you let me finish? I'm going to go with Edward Norton's character in Fight Club. Because he goes from being just
that
like this total
sense.
Nerd. And then
no,
he ends up being
between
so glowing
film.
Up within the same film, you're saying.
Yeah, is that bad? He doesn't say it has to be in a sequel. Fine, Neville Longbottom and Harry Potter.
Oh. All right, that's fair enough. He did turn into a
I would have tapped him in the final film 100%.
Oh, look, mate, I don't want to talk out of school, but yeah, I fuck Neville.
Damn, son.
I think the answer has to be Katie Holmes turning into Maggie Gyllenhaal between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. I think that's pretty impressive. That's a pretty impressive
glow-up.
That's
legit, actually.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Nice.
Talk about actors transforming. Like, that is next level.
There was a couple, like, Sigourney goes from being pretty handy and alien to being a fucking like machine and Aliens.
Yeah.
That was up there.
Nice.
But I can't look past the fact that Marlon Brando turns into Robert De Niro in the Godfather. Godfather franchise. That's a pretty big glow up.
Somehow you guys have made me think of the meme where it's Michael Cera turns into Jesse Eisenberg turns into Andy Samberg, and they compare it to like the Pokemon. Have you seen that one? Because like Andy Samberg is like the best one. Yeah, that's my fucking glow up. Not that ever happens actually in a series of films, but it should.
And so finally from me, why did Skynet give the undercover espionage unit such a thick Austrian accent?
I think they just did it for the lols. I just think that they were in the warehouse and they were coming up there. You know, it'd be really funny. I can't think of any other reason why.
I do.
Oh, don't worry.
I know.
There is a reason.
Obviously, that everyone knows that Austrian accents are the sexiest. There was some dead silence right there. Yeah.
Get to the chopper.
I mean, seriously, woman wouldn't you get
had terminated brain cells? Is that what's going on?
Before you give us the actual answer, Sam, I do want to note that I found the voice changey technique that he had. That was super creepy when he was like able to fake cool people's as, voices. That was cool, but it was creepy. I was just like, when he was pretending to be your mum, I was like, oh, that is, oh, that's so weird.
It was so creepy, but at the same time makes you realise, why do you have such a thick Austrian accent that makes you so obvious and identifiable? You know, it's just, it's funny.
Yeah.
So we got the answer in a deleted scene. So it's not officially canon, but we got the answer from a deleted scene in Terminator 3. And Terminator 3 is where the fucking wheels fell off and shit went sideways and all that sort of shit, as most people know. But in one of the deleted scenes, we see Skynet making prototypical Terminators, and they've based the body on this, like, Texas, like, redneck, like, yeehaw, how you doing, Arlo? And it's Arnie being voiced over by, a hardcore redneck Texan.
Amazing.
And somebody says, okay, the body's amazing, but what's up with the voice? And this Germany guy turns around and goes, we can change that.
That's cool.
That is cool, actually. Yeah.
That's not cool. It's fucking stupid. That is cool. There's a reason why that's single deleted.
But it's quite a cool, like, what do you call it when they, retroactive explanation?
Retcon.
Thank you. Yeah. That's a cool retcon.
I dig that. I think they should have left that in and it would have made T3 a million.
Like, it's unnecessary, but it's cool.
Okay, fine. So anything would make T3 a million times better.
I wouldn't know. I haven't seen it.
Anyhow, enough of me. Billy, right. What's your questions?
Over to my questions. My first one, how long do you guys think you could outlast the Terminator?
Fuck all. What about you, Liz?
Well, I wouldn't be dumb enough to tell anyone where I was, like when my mum was like demanding to know where I was, even though we were both hiding. So I could go for ages.
Yeah,
I'm going to go like hide in some random motel in the middle of nowhere and not tell anyone where I am.
It's just this.
How's he going to find
overinflated sense of ego?
Till the end of time? Like, do you not remember the speech where Kyle Reese tells her that this machine will never stop? Like, you'll just live in a hotel till the end of time.
Yeah, I'll just start a new life. He's not going to know who I am.
So you're just going to go off and live your own life without him knowing. He's won, by the way. He stopped you from banging a dude and having John Connor.
I hadn't thought of that part. So I'm actually, it's not about outlasting him in life. It's about outlasting him till I can bang the father of my future son. Okay, yeah, fine.
That's right.
Yeah, no. Look, in reality, of course I'm not going to last very long. I can't like shoot any guns or do like martial arts or anything. I don't know. Like nothing that would be useful. I can't do parkour. I feel like that might be useful to get away from him, but I can't do it, so, yeah.
I'll tell you what, driving a truck or a car would be quite useful.
Oh, I can do those.
Not the best at that. Not the best.
Yeah, I could do those, maybe.
All right, my question 18 goes back to kind of your last question, Sam. If you were designing a killing robot to go back in time, what would you make it look like? Because I couldn't help but think that this robot stands out like a
100%.
Sore thumb. Like, he is... Yeah, okay. He's a giant dude with an Austrian accent in 80s LA. I'm like, this guy really stands out.
I'm going with Betty White. Like, totally innocent looking old lady. No one's going to look at her and go, well, she must be the one who's been shooting people in the face.
Yeah. My first thought was Danny DeVito. How sick would that be if the Terminator was sweet. Danny DeVito?
Sam doesn't like our answers, I don't think.
I'm just imagining.
Just imagine this movie remade as completely seriously as it is, but with either Betty White or Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito.
Or both.
Both would be amazing.
There's two of them that come back and they're like working together. That'd be amazing.
Or Twins as an unofficial sequel to one of the Terminator movies.
Yeah. It's got to be better than Terminator 3 from what it sounds
like. 4 or 5 or 7 or fucking 42
really?
Or whatever
they're
up to.
How many Terminators are there?
A lot.
I think that, are there 6 official ones now?
Salvation, like the and then Genesis, one. And then Dark Fate. Genesis yeah, like by Dark far Fate the worst six, by far.
I saw one
wild.
With Sam Worthington. Yeah. So actually, I lied.
Or Salvation. Oh, I saw the 4th, but I wouldn't watch the 2nd one.
I lied. I actually don't know why I did that, because I usually hate watching movies out of order. I think I said to someone said, oh, do you want to come to this movie? And I went, oh, no, I haven't seen the 1st one. They're like, it doesn't matter. And I'm like, well, I've got nothing else to do. And I don't remember anything about it except for Sam Worthington. I think you didn't know he was a Terminator until suddenly it turns out he's a Terminator. That's it. That's all I know.
My answer, you got to send Jerry Maguire? Yeah, I'm going with Ray. He's such a cute little kid. That dude could get in anywhere. You know what I mean?
No.
I was like, who's the cutest kid in cinema history? And then I thought to myself, there's that bit at the end of Jerry Maguire where he picks up a baseball and then just fucking rifles it like 400 fucking meters. Maybe he is a Terminator. Maybe Jerry Maguire is an unofficial sequel to the Terminator. And Ray is a cute little Terminator that's been sent back through time to just murder people.
This definitely needs, Betty White's dead. But if she hadn't died, this would be the next sequel. The three of them.
Yep.
All right, my last question. Is there a better example of a franchise with diminishing returns than this? Which I'm guessing, Liz, you really can't answer this question if you haven't seen any of them except for four.
No, but I'm still going to.
I'll give you a hint. They get worse.
Except they don't, because you're telling me that T2 was amazing. So,
But they get worse after.
Sure,
that.
But like, that still goes up a little bit. I'm gonna go with Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's a great example, actually, because the first one is honestly,
I actually really like the first one.
Incredible. Yes.
Yeah, the first one's really
bad. And then I think I saw the second one because I liked the first one and went, oh my God, this is dreadful. And I never watched any others ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good call.
I feel like the obvious answer is Star Wars, which I made a like GIF reference of. Because like, first Star Wars movie, really awesome, ahead of its time, all that sort of shit, which Terminator was. Empire Strikes Back, by far my favorite film, and Terminator 2 is on par with that in terms of like being a superior sequel to the first one. And then Return of the Jedi had shit on its tofa, but it's not as good as those first two. Still good. But then after that, like, you got the prequels and then you got the sequel trilogy and it sort of falls off. And I feel like those are the obvious answers, because I feel like most horror franchises, like Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th, all that sort of shit, like, they just turn to shit so fucking quickly. It's almost through no fault of their own. It's like the budget's been taken away, the cast have been taken away, all the people behind the camera have been taken away. You know.
I don't think you can go past Jurassic Park, though, honestly, where the
another
first
one
is a 10, and then you drop to a 4, and it never recovers. Every film after the first is, like, sub-average.
Really,
I will say that the first of the Chris Pratt films is okay.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't hate Jurassic World as much
terrible.
As the rest of the world did.
No. But like, compared to the ones that preceded it, like, that one was like, oh, it's all right.
See, I know that it was just a nostalgia boner for me, but I actually really enjoyed that film.
I couldn't get past the whole terrible misogyny of like her wearing the heels and being really ridiculous. It just really ruined it for me that she was so terrible.
Why is that misogynistic? Why are you judging on her fashion choices?
Because it was absurd.
Yeah,
no woman would have actually been running around
like
with those fucking heels on.
Well, I don't think that's fair of you to say, Liz. Do you speak for all women?
Yeah.
I do. On this podcast, honestly, I do.
That's incredibly misogynistic to say that you speak for all women, Liz.
Incredibly misogynistic.
Hey, guys, eat a dick.
I'm trying to think of another franchise, Billy, that like legitimately starts off like the first two films are fucking epic, and then after that, because
I think that when I was rewatching this, I was
Godfather?
Really struck by the parallel to the Alien franchise.
Alien is good, yeah. There
you,
we go,
and it's very very similar, where you literally start with a horror, the second film is an action, and then the rest of them are just turds. Like, it was
what fucking like Rambo.
Really struck me how similar they are.
Rambo,
yeah, Rambo. Never really hit a peak, to be honest. I know the first one's fine. You've got to try and find a film franchise where the first one is like really,
starts
really good.
Starts at like a 10.
Yeah, starts at a 10, the next one's 11, and then it goes, like, falls off the fucking, like, the dive between 2 and 3 is like insurmountable, like, compared to most film franchises. Like, aside from horror films, like, because, you know, Mother.
Pacific Rim.
Fucking hell, Liz. You just got a heart to my butt.
Mortal Kombat.
Oh, no, even that's not a franchise. Like,
those movies.
Clearly,
are
I was joking. They're all terrible.
You better shut up, Liz. We're going to make you
reverse.
Watch Mortal Kombat 2.
That starts as a negative 10, and then the next one is a negative 11.
That's it. Fuck it. We are doing Mortal Kombat 2 as a Patreon episode. I'm making you do it, Liz.
That's where I quit the podcast altogether if you try.
Oh, so would I.
It.
I can't even fucking finish it. The only one that I feel like has made a comeback and became good, at least partially, is the Fast and the Furious movies. Like, the first one, okay.
They really pivoted.
Yeah.
They kind of finally accepted what they were, and they're like, we're not as serious. Like, let's just have fun with this. And now that it's fun, it's finally fun.
But, like, even still, like, 5 and 6 are, like, the fucking, like, holy shit. And then after that, it's just like, they've got to that ramp up of, like, well, what's something more crazy we can do? And it's just like, you guys have,
I don't think you can say Star Wars because diminishing returns to me. Are we talking like fiscal returns? Because
No.
Fuck ton of money out of Star
Wars. We're talking artistic integrity.
Which is something that, you know, we care deeply about on this podcast, artistic integrity.
Predator?
I was going to ask about Predator.
No, because you know what? They're all fucking shit, mate.
No, fuck off. I know you didn't like the first one that much, but that first one is fucking amazing.
I fell asleep in a Predator once.
Gross. Yeah, Liz, what the fuck?
Disgusting. No, I remember
what part of you was in it?
No, do you know what? Was it Aliens versus Predators or something like that?
Those are fucking
I went to one with a boyfriend and I'm actually not going to say that I watched it because I didn't. I watched about 10 minutes and I went, this is fucking dire. And I just fell asleep, which is really rare for me, but it was really bad.
Anywho, that takes us down to our last question, which is also a Patreon question. Comes courtesy of our mate Julio of the Contrarians podcast. Podcast which rages against the Rotten Tomatoes machine. So takes a universally beloved film like this, says what a shit. Alternatively, he takes a dreadful film and argues why it's awesome. So they recently did the Nicolas Cage film Left Behind.
They did not make a way to argue that was good.
They'll find a way.
They will find a way, and I'm almost refusing to listen to it out of protest.
Oh no, that really makes me want to listen to it just to see how they could possibly do that because that I couldn't even finish that film, and I love Chad Michael Murray. Like, I just think he's really hot. So,
well, firstly, Liz, let me say, listen to the Contrarians.
Yeah, there we go. Listen to the Contrarians.
That's fantastic.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm back in the gym next week, so I'm listening to them. But
I'm going to listen to that. That's going to be interesting.
But anyway, his question, what is your most controversial opinion about this film?
My most controversial opinion about what you just said is that I don't believe that you're going back to the gym.
I love
That's
the
not
gym.
Controversial, mate.
The
we
game.
Not going back. No. I legitimately love the gym. I just love KFC a little bit more. So it's like I have to do both. And it's the reason why I'm stuck in this flux of fucking like up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down.
No, it's just because.
Story time.
You literally.
I remember once.
I was just going to say, he literally said before that he hates running. So I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't run at the gym. I fucking lift weights and fucking be a real Arnie man.
That makes more sense. Really, my most controversial opinion about this film is that I just don't think that things will be that bad in 2029. And I actually think this is controversial because
things are pretty bad.
Everyone seems pretty sure that we are on the verge of nuclear war. That artificial intelligence is like going insane and taking over and we're destroying the earth. So I feel like people actually probably do think that things will be that bad in 2029. I'm staying positive. I'm a positive thinker.
Listeners, we are speaking from the privilege of living in New Zealand.
Yeah, we are.
Fuck all happens.
Yeah, pretty much. I feel like at least in New Zealand, things won't be that bad in 2029.
My controversial opinion, we've kind of skirted around it a little bit, especially with my last question. I honestly think that this film is better than T2.
You're an idiot.
And I know that that's controversial. And, like, honestly, it flips for me. Like, there are times where I'll watch T2 and I'll be like, yeah, okay, this is amazing. But I honestly think, bang for buck, the story in this film is so tight. I think Arnie is better in this film than he is in T2. Like, I think there's a lot of great elements about T2, but I honestly think that there's an argument to be made that this is better.
Get out!
I feel the same way about Alien. Alien is much better than Aliens.
No, look, I will agree with you.
I haven't seen either of those sequels.
Well, shut up and let me talk. Fuck. I will say it's kind of like I'm with you there. Like, there's a recency bias. Like, when I watch one of these, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's the best one. And then I watch the other one, I'm like, no, wait, that's the best one. And it doesn't matter which order I watch them in. It's always the same. The same, with Alien and Aliens. It's, my controversial opinion, like, she's a badass in Terminator 2, don't get me wrong. Linda Hamilton, this movie, maybe should have died. Like, she almost deserves to die. Terminator strolls through a nightclub, pulls a gun on her. Okay, first of all, insane leap of logic. Who's paying $4 to go into that fucking nightclub? Anyway, like, but then he pulls a fucking gun on her, points it at her head, and she just sits there like, uh-huh.
Oh, I know, she stands there for so long.
Uh-huh. And then we have her in the police station where, like, he's getting interviewed and she's, like, not mentioning the fact that this guy has been fucking shooting at her and chasing her and all this other shit. Like, there's so many parts where you're like, what are you doing, lady?
What are you doing? Yeah, that's in the first half, I was like, why does everyone keep saying she's such a badass? She's just, like, such a trope of a pathetic woman. But I do like, Yeah. Towards the end, she did sort of start taking things on board. You know, she started helping him build the weapons, and she started really trying to understand more about the world, and she believed him. And then by the end, obviously, she's just like badass driving around Mexico learning Spanish. So good on her.
Yeah. Anywho, that takes us down to the end. And I want to thank these two guys, not just for being awesome and being on this podcast, but for the fact that for the last 17 episodes or whatever, we've said next week we're doing Terminator 2 and Machu and Kahu are fucking useless. Hey, are you free this Friday? Yep. Sweet. Okay, let's do it. Oh, I'm not free, bro. Okay, sweet. Are you free on Saturday? Yeah, I am free, bro. Hey, are you free, bro? Nah, bro. I can't make that, bro. It's like,
wait,
fuck,
so you
bro.
Haven't done Terminator 2?
We haven't done Terminator 2.
Oh, well,
we've
then I will
about
watch it.
But anyway, like next week will be Doctor Strange. I don't know who I'm going to get on to do that. And then Spanky's staying with me for a week, so he wants to do something.
What's
I don't know
Spanky's
what that's
back?
Be. He's back for a week.
Oh, I'll do
He's
a podcast back with for Spanky. A
week. Oh, thank you, because Stacey, I'm calling you fucking Stacey now. Thank you, because Stacey has actually decided to go on holiday for a week.
Good on her.
Just go see her parents while Spanky's here.
Is it specifically because Spanky will be there? Because I wouldn't blame her.
I'm not saying she did it on purpose, but the timing's kind of very coincidental.
Speaking of timing, you'll be hopping on my show next week for Doctor Strange as well.
I was leading into that. So, Billy, promo the fuck out of your show, and we'll finish on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, if you want to check me out, I don't know why you would, because this show is far superior. But if you want to kind of hear, like, the, you know, the secondary, like if you want to hear, like, how bad podcasts can get after listening to this, you can do that by searching for We Watched a Thing or heading to wewatchedathing.com. I'm on all social medias at We Watched a Thing.
So, wait, if this podcast is Terminator 1, what would you say that We Watched a Thing is of the sequels?
Oh, I'm the Dark Fate of podcasts. I'm like, I'm not terrible. I'm kind of a return to form, but it's like, honestly, just rewatch the first two.
Not Genesis or Genesis or whatever the fuck it was trying to call itself.
I'm not that bad.
Nah, nothing's that bad, man. Nothing's that bad.
So Terminator 2 is going to be our future podcast coming very soon where we do stuff on Reddit.
Yes, exactly.
Where both you guys come with me if you want to live.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'd just rather die.
Yeah, same, bro, actually. Anywho, thank you everyone for listening. As I mentioned, those are upcoming episodes. If you want to get a hold of us, you can find us on Twitter at Movie Reviews In, or you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Movie Reviews In 20Qs. Otherwise, send us an email at miritqs@gmail.com. As I said, here's an upcoming promo for live stream for The Cure. We would love to have all you guys there watching us, listening to us. We're going to do 20 questions, and we will be asking the questions. Anyone watching, listening, we want you guys to give your answers. And we're going to go all full Simon Cowell on it and just tell you how shit and wrong you guys are. Or just show up and troll us. That's even better. Just show up and give me shit. Hate fuels me, so I like that. Anyway, that's thanks from me.
Thanks from me.
Get out.
I'll be back.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nick. I'm the host of Nikolai's Kitchen, and I'm also the host of the annual live stream for The Cure. Livestream for the Cure is a charity event where we raise money with content creators and podcast partners from around the world for the Cancer Research Institute, a wonderful nonprofit researching cancer immunotherapy, training the body's immune system to fight all forms of cancer. This is a mission and a future that I truly believe in. And myself and my team worked tirelessly over the past 5 years to raise over $50,000 for this cause. This year, we're aiming for our biggest single goal to date of $20,000, and we cannot do it without your help. Please join us for the event May 19th through the 21st, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern, for 45 hours of content from people all over the world. Together, we can bring hope for a future immune to cancer. The more eyes we reach, the more dollars we raise. Please help us in making this goal a reality. Together, we can make a difference.
My second good thing,
yes,
is, like Stacey said, the story. I just think that this
like
is
Stacey
a
did.
Really
top quality,
like,
podcasting.